Holy Spirit, come and speak. Amen. So Advent is over. We've had a time of anticipation and excitement and waiting. And there was a celebration here last night while we were joyful in the birth of Jesus. And now we're here today, and it's much quieter in this room. It was packed here last night. They were singing, little angels sang in John Wesley Choir, Allison Grant sang. We sang wonderful carols. There was a wonderful sermon by Charles. Everything was exciting. And then we're here this morning, and we're wondering, what now? What do we do now after all of the anticipation and the excitement of the season? What do we do now? And now's a really good time for us to reflect on everything that happened through Advent, everything that we experienced. And at this time, when I start reflecting and I think about Advent, I always think about Mary. For some reason, she's very much at the forefront of my thoughts during this time. And the song that Charles sang is a really good song to help us, because we wonder, what exactly did Mary know? She had a huge task before her, but what did she know when she signed up for this? And so we look back in Luke chapter 1 to get a little bit of an idea of what Mary might have known during this time. We know that she was visited by an angel named Gabriel, because it's there in the text for us. We also know that she was greeted and told that she was highly favored. The other thing we know is that the angel told her that she would give birth to a son, and that son would be called Great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. We also know that Gabriel told her that her son would be called the Son of God. Now, the interesting thing to me about this whole passage is Mary had one question. Just one question. And she said, how was this going to be so? Because I've never been with a man. If that had been me, I would have had a lot more questions. Those of you who know me, if you know me well, know that there would have been a lot of questions. I would have needed to know some logistics about how this is going to happen. When is this going to happen? What exactly is going to take place? And what is this going to look like? But that wasn't what Mary did. She just had one question. How can this be? Because I've never been with a man. Gabriel answered that question, and then she said, very simply, let it be so. That's all she said, let it be so, and it was so. Mary, in all her faith, went out and agreed to God's plan. And so if we go forward in Luke, we see that Joseph and Mary are on their way to Bethlehem. There's a census, and they get there. And there's no place for them, but they find a place where they can sleep for the night. And that's the night that Jesus was born. And we also know from the text that there was a lot going on that night. There were angels, and not just one angel, a whole host of angels. And shepherds came, and it was a really, really busy delivery room. There was lots of excitement that was there. And whenever I think about someone's delivery and their birth, I think about when I gave birth and how exciting that was. It was the middle of the night. We weren't expecting Mary Catherine for another month and a half, but she came early. So I remember waking George up and saying, I think it's time. He was a little startled because that wasn't really what we were planning at that moment. But we got up, called the doctor, went to the hospital. Sure enough, it was time. So we called family. Everybody rushed to the hospital because they were excited about this new baby that we were going to have. So In the delivery room, there was a lot of excitement. There were doctors, there were nurses, there were NICU nurses because she was early. There were respiratory therapists. It was really, really busy in that room. And it continued to be busy because I worked in the hospital where I gave birth. So for the whole day, there was a steady stream of people coming into the room to see the baby that I'd given birth to. And then we were discharged from the hospital and we went home. And more people came by because they wanted to see the baby and they brought us food. And there was lots of excitement and lots of commotion and lots of celebrating going on. Until that one day where people said, okay, we've got to get back to our lives. George went back to work. My mother went back home. And there I was with this baby all by myself. And I thought, what have I done? And I think back, you know, when you're growing up, you think about, okay, when I get to a certain age or a certain milestone, I'll feel like an adult at that point. Sometimes it's when I turn 18, I'm an adult when I turn 18 or 21. I look back on my life and I thought, when did I feel like an adult? It wasn't when I was 16 and had cancer and had my leg amputated. That wasn't it. I grew up a lot then. But that wasn't when I felt like an adult. It wasn't when I graduated from high school or went off to college. It wasn't when I got my first real job. It wasn't when I got married. It wasn't when I bought my first car or even signed that really big mortgage payment. You know how that is. That wasn't when I felt like an adult. The moment I felt like an adult was the moment that George went to work and my mother left. And there I was with this baby. And for the next 8 hours, it was my responsibility to keep this baby alive. And that's when I realized I'm an adult now, at least I have to be. But I also thought I was a little insane for agreeing to this plan to have this baby and take care of this baby. And so I wonder if that maybe was how Mary felt. Did Mary wonder what she had gotten herself into? Because from some of the language in Luke, it's possible that Mary could have thought that she was giving birth to a king, a great king, a king like David, but still a very earthly king. But I'm thinking after the night that she had had, she realized that this was no ordinary baby. This baby was more than just a king. This baby was something great. And maybe that was the moment she realized that when that angel said, your son will be called the Son of God, that maybe that angel really meant the Son of God. And how must she have felt with that task before her? Because I was overwhelmed with a precious baby, but a very earthly baby. What must she have thought when her responsibility was to raise and nurture the Messiah? And I think by this point, she finally realized that that's what she had on her hands. And she had to be overwhelmed. And so I got to wondering, how did she feel like she was up to this task? And then I think about our lives today. Because many times we can feel like the things that we had planned for our lives are not what we thought was going. It's not what is actually happening. We've been thrown some curveballs. And Mary, she got a really big curveball when she was asked to have Jesus. And she took on that task. And our lives can sometimes be full of very, very big curveballs. Sometimes it may be that we didn't get into the school that was our dream, or our health is failing, or someone we love, their health is failing. Or maybe your marriage isn't the way it should be, or you lost your job. Sometimes life can be overwhelming. And what do we do in those times? Well, I like to look at Mary Because like I said before, she had a really, really big curveball. And what did she do? What sustained her? I think that Mary understood the verses from John. She understood that the Word became flesh and was living with her. I think she understood that she had God right there with her. And I think that's what helped her make it through her days that were, some of them, very, very difficult. And I think that's what can help us. But we forget. We get really busy, especially this time of the year. We're running around. We're going shopping. We're trying to find the best things. We have parties that we go to, things we have to do, rushing here and there. And we forget to have the quiet time that we need to reflect and remember that God is with us. And that's what helped me on that day that I felt terrified to have to take care of this baby. I remember God is with me. And Mary remembered that God was with her. And we all need to remember that God is with us still. On those times that we're rushing around and we're so busy, we need to remember the words from John when he said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And the Word became flesh and made his home among us." That's it. That's the key. That's what we were celebrating last night. The Word becoming flesh and making his home here with us. And the great news is that that's still the case today. God is not gone anywhere. God is still here. God is Emmanuel. God is with us still.